Congregation, were you here last Sunday evening? And I asked, do you pray? And preached on the Lord's Prayer for the first time. Were you here in church? Somebody said last week that it was a good sermon. Quite a few said that. Maybe that's true. The Lord helped. But did it change anything? Do you now pray differently this last week? Do you take it to heart? Do you use extra time? It's more serious. But what was the difference? You can't say it was a good sermon and then continue on the same way. What was the difference? As you cry to the Lord, teach me to pray. I feel I cannot and I should and I need an urgency. If nothing changed this week, repent of it. Say, Lord, again, I'm so stubborn. I hear about prayer and I agree with that. And I say, yes, it's good to be well said. And then I procrastinate again. Nothing changes. And may something change tonight. Then that you say, well, I cannot apply with the Spirit. I depend upon the Lord. But I will take it to heart. I will set time apart. I will take my time to pray. What do we learn tonight? Tonight is about the first part. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father who waits out in heaven. You can find a short explanation of that in Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 46, on page 83. Why has Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? And so that immediately, in the very beginning of our prayer, He might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer. Namely, that God is become our Father in Christ and will much less deny us what we ask of Him in true faith than our parents refuse us earthly things. Question 121. Why is it there added, which art in heaven? Answer, lest they should form an earthly conception of God's heavenly majesty, and that we expect from Him, from His almighty power, all things necessary for soul and body. Addressing the Lord in prayer. Three thoughts. A tender Father. Secondly, as highest majesty. And in the third place, with awe and intimacy. Addressing the Lord in prayer. A tender Father. As highest majesty, with awe and intimacy. Congregation of this prayer, remember, it's conversing with God. It's holy, loving conversation. Closeness to open up to the Lord, to open your heart, to pour out your soul for the Almighty One who listens. It's so personal. The Lord is very personal. He is three persons and one God. Very personal. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and that from eternity. It's God's essence to be personal. And He loves Himself and the three persons love one another. The Son, the Father, and they all love each other. He's never alone. From eternity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so prayer, as I said last week, and I repeat, is a personal conversation with a personal God. Not with a force, not talking to someone out there we don't know. No, it is speaking to the God who has revealed himself in Scripture. Concretely, clearly, this is who I am. And prayer is a response to what the Lord says. The Lord says, listen to my voice, I speak. And I respond to that. Prayer is a whole response to God speaking. God revealing himself. And then the sinner by God's Spirit realizing who God is and responding with supplication, thanksgiving, adoration. Confessing sins. But you know that holy conversation can yet be quite different. There are two extremes. And I'm talking about God's children praying. It can be just a raw cry. In holy urgency. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Right from the heart, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, crying to God, a scream to heaven, I thirst for thee. Is there a way to escape that well-deserved punishment? That's one end of the spectrum. Of someone convicted, in need. On the other side, someone who is assured. A child of the Lord assured, confident, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's quite a difference. So the Lord's prayer is not the prayer of a beginner. It's the prayer of an assured child of the Lord. Which are the foundation of our prayer, namely that God is become our Father in Christ and will much less deny us of the ask of him in true faith than our prayer to refuse us earthly things. And those are two extremes, there is much in between there. And sometimes one prayer, a cry and confidence, preserve me, O God. For I trust in thee. Let me give you an example of that raw cry of someone convicted and at this point not able to say, Our Father. I read in Ezra 9. Oh my God, I'm ashamed, and I blush to lift up my face to thee. My God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. See the heaven, and see those mountains as high as the heaven, mounds of guilt and sin. And our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Our iniquities increase over our head. We drown in it. Oh God, we are ashamed and blush. Is it your prayer? Pray that this week. If you can pray, say, Lord, may you just recite Ezra 9 verse 6 and ask the Lord to come in with it. To give that. You say with the lips, ask the Lord to give it in your heart. You say, well, I can't do that. Now you also pray, Our Father which is in heaven, right? Also the lips. Pray also this with the lips. Ask Lord for more. Another prayer of the first category. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. That's the language of God's people. They know that. That iniquities have taken hold of them. They have in a grip. They cannot escape. They feel that pinch. They feel that strong hand. Not able to look up. More than the hairs of mine head. So the Lord makes room for himself and for grace. But that's not our Lord's prayer. It's a little different. The Lord's prayer is more like Romans 8. That's not a prayer within that same category. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, that's the Lord's Prayer. Lord's Prayer is the prayer of a child of the Lord through the Holy Spirit speaking with warmth and love, as I explained in Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's Aramaic, Abba. That means beloved Father. Means Father in an endearment way. Our Father. Or the Spirit itself witnesses with our spirit. We are God's children. And if children, then heirs. Children are heirs. Heirs of God, joined heirs of Christ. So this prayer is personal, and there is assurance in there. It's not only personal, not only assured, there's more to say about that. It's possible to have a relationship with someone that is personal, and yet not like this prayer. I'll give you examples. You talk to a stranger. Personally. What time is it? That's normal to talk to a stranger, right? Personal relationship, personal talk. Very shallow though. You ask directions, you ask for the time, you ask for something else, you need it. That's acceptable. You can approach any stranger for that. Personal, face to face, you look them in the eye. Please, can you tell me what time is it? Can you please help me to carry this? It's too heavy. But you don't know the person, do you? It's personal, but you don't know the person, and you have no relationship with that person. Not really. That's not what the Lord's Prayer is about. It's very personal, and not only personal, you know him. You have a bond. It's different. Or you talk to your employer. You need some supplies, or you want a raise. You have a good relationship with him. You know him for years already. You are almost friends. There's a raise. You think you have a right to ask that. He can say, no, we have a right, I work hard. It's high time. You request that. You insist, I need that. It's fair. It's personal. You know the person. You respect the person. You have a type of bonding with the person. But that's not what the Lord's Prayer is about. Not saying, Lord, I want. I deserve. It's time. Now, please. I work hard. I do my best. I'm good. I go to church. It's not like a landlord with the renter, the boarder. It's dangerous to become friends with them because then they have leverage. And they pay the rent for years. Now something is broken and they need it fixed. And they have a right. I am paying the rent. It needs to be fixed soon. I can't live this way. You're the owner. That's not what this life. It's not a business-like relationship. A business-like relationship. It's something else. It's the relationship as a father to his children. What's the difference? At 3 o'clock in the morning, you hear your child crying. Mom, Dad, you get out of bed, don't you? You go to the bedroom. A child cries. I'm so thirsty. You live with the father. Because you're a father. You're a mother. You love the child unconditionally. And you care for the child very deeply. It is your child. Your biological child or your adopted child. It's your child. And you don't feel obligated. The child is not requesting something that's your duty. It's a loving relationship. And that's what you read here. God the Father is called upon by a child. And the child does not deserve anything. Is not talking about, I paid, I did my best, I did this or that or such or so. No rights. The child says, preserve me, O God, for I trust in thee. But my father, the Gentiles pray differently. The Gentiles have vain repetition of words, and they use vain repetition to pressure the Lord, to say the Lord has to help and has to do this and has to do that. This is very personal. So this is important. What I've been talking about now, that personal childlike relationship, is the foundation of this prayer. If you miss that point, your whole prayer is completely different. The whole attitude and mood is completely wrong. Let me read it again. Why has Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father, that immediately yet, in the very beginning of our prayer, he might excite in us childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer. It's the foundation to be a child and to have that reverence and confidence combined. Have you prayed that way? Are you a child of the Lord by adoption? We'll talk about it later. Has something happened? Has the Lord given that life in your soul and that spirit to witness, saying with your spirit that you're His child, and then in a childlike way addressing the Lord with holy reverence and confidence, which are the foundation of prayer? You know, when a child grows up and the relation with his parents is maybe tense someday, but then the whole way they talk to each other is different too. It's tension, stress. The tone is different. But the Lord wants His church to have that reverence and that confidence together, to so warmly addressing the Lord. You know, Muslims, with all respect, don't know about this. You ask a Muslim, could you call Allah Father? Oh, no. Oh, no. Father? That's so casual. That is so homely. That is so warm. Our Allah is exalted and high. We revere Him. We highly esteem Him. He's not like a father. You can say that. You can say He's a father. He's holy and righteous. Well, our God is holy and righteous as well, even holier than Allah is, because He cannot just simply forgive. Allah can. But our God, the God of God's Word, is a father to His children, tender and kind to all that fear His name. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, they have been adopted. It means to the Father, we talked about it a long time, two things. Unconditional care. Whatever happens, what time of the day, what days you have to travel, you do anything, anything for your child, anything. God does anything for His children. He has given His only begotten Son to save them. And secondly, from the other side, having a father means having access. If you like to talk to President Trump or the Queen of England or Mr. Trudeau, this is protocol. You can't just walk up there. You can't just say, I'm here. I want you to talk to me. I have something to tell to you. The doors don't fly open. There's no simple access. Think of Queen Esther. She was fearful to approach Ahasuerus, the king, because he was not like a father. But a child has at any time of the day access to the father. And so God's children don't have to wait. They don't have to dress up. There is no protocol. There is no certain hours. It's any time. Does it excite you? Does it make you jealous, having a father in heaven? Some of you have no father anymore. Some of you have a father with difficulties. Some of you have a father you don't respect. Some of you have a father that died many years ago. Whatever it is, But this is the Father, the eternal Father, Lord Jesus Christ. He never disappoints. He is perfect. Seek Him. Seek having such a Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, that God is become our Father in Christ and will much less deny us. See that? He does not deny what we ask of Him in true faith. Our Peter refuses earthly things. Spirits don't refuse earthly things. They don't say, "You're hungry, but I don't give you anything to eat." And yet, second thought, highest majesty. Why is He added, "Words are in heaven"? Lest you form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, and that we expect from His almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. Majesty. You know, it's such an incomprehensible connection and combination. He's also highest majesty. I'll give you some proof of that. You felt something of the warmness and the blessings. Let me show you another side of God, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. Door is closed. You said the door was open. Door closed for them which are for their own account and don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Or think of 1 Timothy 1, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever." You can't use the name Father in a flippant way, in a superficial way. And it happens so often. It happens so often that people use God's name and the Father's name so easy, as if there's no problem saying that. And God is never a friend in that sense. He still remains a high majesty. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Well, He's a high majesty to have highly esteemed for, to tremble for. He is warm, He is caring, He is loving, and even His children. His children should approach Him with reverence. A few verses from Job. Job, you know Job, right? He suffered a lot. And the Lord revealed Himself in His majesty, because he was proud. God's child, he was proud and rebellious in a sense and did not understand what the Lord was doing to him. And the Lord said, "I will show you something." And the Lord showed him His holiness, His majesty, the stars, the animal world. And I read in Job 42, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." At low place of a child of God can go together with saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven," that belongs together. "Behold, I'm vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand with my mouth. seated is that holy reverence. Be careful. God still has the right to say, Our Father. It needs to be balanced with holy reverence, holy, highly esteeming the Lord. Gird up thy loins now like a man, the Lord said to him. Stand up. And I will demand of thee, and thou declare thou unto me, wilt thou also disannul my judgment, wilt thou condemn me, that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Think of the thunder, the Lord's voice, so to speak. Can you thunder like that? And Job said, Behold, I'm vile. What shall I answer thee? Remember Moses? Before the burning bush, saw something of the holiness of God. He said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Oh, that awe. Intimacy, right? Our Father is close, intimacy. Which art in heaven is awe, being still and quiet and respectful and humble at the same time. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Who do you think you are? David said, Who am I, O Lord, and what is my house that has brought me hitherto? Let me pause here. Do you know both? That warmness in your heart, addressing God as our Father, and at the same time, high respect, which art in heaven, rejoicing with trembling, right? So Muslims, yes, they talk about in heaven, high majesty, highest thoughts of Allah. But strangely, you talk to them, and you say, can your Allah forgive the God you're talking about? And they say, oh yeah, why not? He can forgive. Is that easy for him? Oh yeah, that's not too difficult for him. How can he do that if he's so holy? If he's so just and so righteous and so fair, he just lets the thing slide? He doesn't care? In this address, we see it. There's no God who is kinder and no God more just. And his God. Approach him and say, Lord, who am I? And what is my house? Seek access through the way, the truth, and the life. Brings the last thought. Is it easy for God to forgive? Or is it difficult? Some say, oh, that's so easy. He is love altogether. No problem. He forgives like, so he's like, there's nothing. Nothing that he can just simply, easily forgive. And some say, oh, no. That's so difficult for God to forgive. He can hardly forgive. What is it? Our Father emphasizes God's kindness for sinful people that seeks reconciliation, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in him, God delighteth in mercy. He delights in mercy. He delights in forgiveness. There is forgiveness with him that he may be feared. But justice needs to be done. Those both things are here in this address, our Father, which art in heaven. They almost contrast each other, they almost speak about a conundrum. Something you say, how can you say it in one breath? Our Father, which art in heaven, that it seems to contradict. But there are more plays in the Bible like that, with holiness and warmness, easy to forgive, delighting in forgiveness, and also difficult to forgive. It's a wonder after all, isn't it? It's an absolute miracle there is forgiveness. Let me show you those contrasts in a few verses. And the Lord passed by before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin, and that we will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, the third and fourth generation. See that? Long-suffering, gracious, good, keeping mercy, and yet by no means clears the guilty. That's God. He is fatherless children. He delights in mercy. He also keeps his covenant, and he holds up his justice. You know this one, this contrast in Psalm 130. If thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. So God is in the heavens, and the Father is church. There is forgiveness. But it belongs to, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Or think of Micah. Who is God like unto thee, that pardon iniquity and passes by transgression, the remnant of his people, retain not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He delights in mercy, see that? But that's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what we have read this evening from John 14? Philip was wondering. Thomas had a question, what is the way? Don't know the way. Philip had a question as well. Philip said to the Lord, Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father. And it suffices us. That's your content then. Show us the Father. Was it difficult to say our Father to Philip? Show us the Father. And Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? It has seen me, has seen the Father. And thou sayest thou then, show us the Father. You know the Father. You've seen me, right? If you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. And that's the secret here. If you would like to know the Father, you need to know Christ. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. So all God's children, also those little ones, Also those the beginners who know something of their sins, who are rising up against them, taking hold of them, higher than the heavens, up to the heavens, over their head, but have seen something of the Lord Jesus Christ and kind of know him somewhat in his names, in his offices, applied by the Spirit. He becomes precious. They receive trust in him. He revealed himself. If that's true, then you have seen the Father. You have seen Christ. So is allowed to say our Father. Who is allowed? It's commanded. The thing is, how do you say it? Is it true? The door is open. He's not like Ashuros. Esther was in danger, in great danger. She did not know if she'd survive. She didn't know. If I perish, I perish, but I will go to the king. That's not how the Lord wants his people to come. That's the wrong application. He's a father. He delighted in mercy. His arms are wide open to sinners. But congregation, not with ourselves. The good works in a business-like relationship. No, as poor ones, as needy ones, taking refuge to the Savior. Or that adoption in Christ is decided upon in eternity. It's established in the resurrection. Something happens in the day of regeneration. And God's people experience it, more or less. But it's a legal status of God's people. You can't take it away. People can divorce and separate. The Lord cannot separate from his people. They are his legal children, whatever happens. And he holds on to them. And he says, you may say, our Father. The word said in heaven. Bow your knees, young friends, and say, Lord, I would like that too. The door is open. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Cry to God. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. Lord, we've only said a few words about it. It is so deep, so precious, so we ask, give the application of thy Spirit, draw people into it. May sinners be jealous and feel the urgency to seek the Lord before it is too late. Having an eternal Father is everything. He will not let us down. He will not separate us. He'll always be there. There's always access to him. O Lord, we ask, show that to younger ones and older ones to seek that solution for the sins we sinned against the Lord. Show them how many sins we have sinned over our heads, and yet in Christ Jesus, welcome. Remember this week, of traveling mercies, give also thy help to the students, give also thy grace, all them schedule for operations and tests and results. Make it well. We ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen.